to have joy in the last days. Now, all of us want to be in the kingdom of God. And I look back how many ever years it has been that we've been in a church now. And since I've been baptized, it's 49 years this coming October since I was baptized. And after going through Ambassador College and graduating and getting married, Dolores and I were up in Boise, and we went one day down to get some exercise down at the high school track, and oh, we were all happy and enthused, and that's when we thought, well, you know, Christ is going to return in 1975, and in 1972, we're going to a place of safety. So here we are in 1965, and we looked at each other, and she looked at me, and she said, isn't it nice we're not going to get old? So here we are. And so we all are looking forward to the resurrection, and a lot of us have been excited because we live in the last days, but looking at all the troubles that are going on in the last days and all the turmoil and all the troubles and fights and squabbles and difficulties that are taking place in the world and in the church, the question is, how can you have joy, peace, and love in such an atmosphere? It seems kind of contradictory. We're not going to stand up there and watch the Titanic sink and laugh and say, hooray, the Titanic is sinking. No, that's not the kind of joy or peace or love that we're talking about. So let's just repeat a couple of scriptures here as we're starting. Let's come to Romans 8. And verse 28, Romans 8 and verse 28, this is the beginning of the perspective that we need, and we can have joy and peace and love in these days, though the world is falling apart all around us. That doesn't mean we're not aware of the suffering. That doesn't mean we're not aware of the difficulty. It just means that with God's Spirit, we have a different perspective of those things, because we know the eventual outcome. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know. Now this is something we need to realize, to understand, to know, and to know with conviction. And the reason that this is important, because when we go through difficult times, we need to understand that these difficult times are for a purpose, therefore we can still have joy in those things which help perfect us for the kingdom. And we know that all things, now all means each and everything, just like where it says there in 2 Timothy 3, that all scripture is God-breathed. That means each and every scripture is God-breathed. So this means each and everything. Whether pleasant or unpleasant, whether joyful or sorrowful, they all work together for good. We're going to see how that does and see how we can have joy in the times that we're living. But notice, how does it all work together for good, and to whom does it work together for good? To those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Now, how are we to love God? Let's come to Mark 12. Mark 12. Let's see how it is that the love of God being the greatest. Remember, Paul said, there is faith and hope and love, and the greatest of these is love, because love will see us through all the difficulties and trials that we go through. Whereas, if you have fear and bitterness and hatred and resentment and grudges and a trauma, how can you have joy and how can things work out for good? Well, it's very difficult. Verse 28, Mark 12. And one of the scribes who had come up to him after hearing them reasoning together and perceived that he, that is Jesus, answered them well, he asked, which is the first commandment of all? Then Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, the Lord. Now you can read the appendices concerning that, the appendix, because that's the truth of the Bible. The Bible reveals Elohim, God, which is a plural noun, has two lords. And that is correct according to the Greek, correct according to the Hebrew. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now this tells us that it is an all-out commitment to God, endeavor. And there can't be anything greater. Now let's ask a question. Did Jesus love God with all his heart, mind, soul, and being when he was in the flesh? Absolutely, he did. Now, we'll see something about that in just a little bit here. Okay. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Now, Jesus later said, a new commandment I give you, which comes right after the one of loving God. You're to love each other as I have loved you. And would that would be in the church of God. We've had so many things and difficulties come along that that's very difficult. Especially when we've been hit right and left with false prophets and false doctrines and false prophecies and arrogance and robbing and stealing and all of those things. But however, God promises it will work together for good. And what is the good that we have out of it? We don't do those things. Is that good? Yes. So whatever we go through the difficulties, we need to do this. Remember the lesson. But don't relive the trauma. That's what Paul did. He remembered he persecuted the church, but he didn't relive the trauma. And too many times we relive the trauma. And when you do, just stop and ask yourself, can I change what has happened? Is that going to make things better? Is that going to make me better? Or should we not just put it in God's hands and say, God, here it is, it's yours. Yes. Okay, now, let's come to John 15. John 15, because of the other part of that, and those who are called according to his purpose. John 15. Now, here's something we need to understand. And this also helps us to love God even more, but it also helps us to be humble. It also helps us to realize that in this world, the physical world in which we live, we don't have anything that we didn't receive. And think about it. What is there that we have or do or are involved in that God has not provided? Yes, we live in this building. Not live in this building, but we meet in this building. We live in our homes. God has provided what? Everything to make it possible. All the raw materials. And he's created many men and women to produce and make so these things can be brought together and build a house. All comes from God. And many times the things that come from God, he also uses other people to send it to us. So there we have it. All right, now let's understand about called according to his purpose. Let's come here to verse 14. Oh, verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that one lay his life down for his friends. Now, he's talking about himself in relationship to them and also in relationship to the whole world. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, I mentioned, I think it was last time, that it would be an interesting study. Now, someone who has a good fast computer, do an interesting study, go through all four of the Gospels and list out all the commandments that Jesus gave us. And then remember what Jesus said. If you love me, keep the commandments, and the Greek is very emphatic there, namely, my commandments. I'll just ask the question, what are all the commandments of Jesus Christ? Now, we all know the Ten Commandments, and we all know that he was the Lord God of the Old Testament before he became Jesus Christ of the New, God manifested in the flesh, and that he spoke the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. So those are his commandments too, are they not? Yes. And where did he get his commandments? From the Father. Okay. Now notice verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, because the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you all the things that I heard from my Father. And now we've got it recorded for us. We don't have to go someplace to hear Jesus, because we can't hear him anyway. But we can hear him through the words which have been preserved for us. Now notice verse 16. This becomes very important in everything that we're related to back here in verse 28. You yourselves, that means you of your own volition, meaning you of your own what you might think inherent goodness, because there's no goodness in anyone, but people think that they are good. You yourselves did not choose me, but I have personally chosen you. Now, why did I translate this personally? Well, because the verb in the Greek for chosen is what is called the middle voice verb. And it functions this way. It's much like a reflective verb in English. Reflexive verb, rather. Which is this. You do something for yourself. So I'm trying to figure out how you apply the middle voice verb to what Jesus said here. Since he's called us for himself, but he personally has chosen us. Now think of that. That's why few are called, many are called, but few are chosen. Because few repent. And the Father first has to draw us, and that's the point in your life when all of a sudden things began to change, and you wanted to know about God. Now, why did that happen? Because the Father was drawing you. And it could have been you were in a trial. It could have been whatever. I know in my case, I was going to the College of San Mateo at that time, and our paleontology teacher, the first day in class, where they teach evolution and all of this sort of thing. Paleontology is geology, biology, and archaeology. So we all got in the classroom. This is vivid in my mind. I can see it just like I'm sitting in the chair. And there are 400 students, and the seats go back at an angle, and it goes up pretty high, and he's standing there on a little stage down there, and I was about, 20 rows back, had a good view of it, and the stage was about a foot high, and he was standing there waiting for the students to quit talking. So the bell rang, and some students quit talking, but they kept talking, so he just stood there, waited. Finally, it got quiet. And the first words out of his mouth were, "If you believe in God and the Bible, do not bring it up in this class, or there is the door." And I said to myself, how dare he do that? No, I wasn't religious. I didn't go to Sunday school or anything like that. I didn't even have a Bible. I knew nothing of God, but I didn't disbelieve God, and I thought that's outrageous that he would say so. Well, shortly after that, I heard the World Tomorrow program, and one thing led to another, and that's how God called me. That's how he personally selected me. How did he personally select you? Now, it may be through a relative, may be through a parent, it may be through other circumstances, but nevertheless, God has chosen you. And for what? The greatest purpose and the greatest inheritance possible. Okay? So you have to love God and be called according to his purpose. Now he says, I have personally chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And yes, it does, doesn't it? We have the fruit of their work right here. That's in addition to all the people that were called and converted and everything that we know about and don't know about. Now notice, so that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So remember that. Never cease praying when there is something to pray about that has not yet been answered. Well, isn't that a vain repetition? No. There are needful repetitions, and there are vain repetitions. So you keep praying. Remember the one, the parable of the widow who kept coming to the judge? You remember what Jesus said, ask and keep on asking and you shall receive, etc. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Now that means we must know the word of God. We must know the truth of God. We must make our prayers in accord with the will of God. We must be humble. We must yield to God. And all of those things are all implied here. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And so keep that in mind when tougher times come down the road. And when they come after us with things like that, ask God for strength and help and peace of mind, and he will give it. Okay? You are not of the world, or it says rather here, if you were of the world would love its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I've personally chosen you out of the world hates you for this. And you can see that in various things in your life and so forth. All right. Now let's look at one more scripture, Hebrews 12, and let's see Jesus' example for us. Hebrews 12. And here is what is going to bring the joy, the peace, and the love in difficult times. Verse 1, after summarizing in the faith chapter, all of those who live by faith. And always remember this, faith requires obedience. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, what is a weight? That's a problem. You ever felt burdened down? Have you ever felt depressed? That is burdened down. That is a weight. What you need to do is take those to God and let God take them from you. And be persistent in that until God lifts the weight from you. And the sin that so easily entraps us. And let us run the race set before us with endurance. Because the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Having our minds fixed on Jesus, that is the key. Looking to Him for everything. The beginner and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that lay ahead of Him, endured the cross. Why? Because He knew that going through this ordeal would ensure that there would be billions and billions of sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, and that the plan of God would succeed. But He had to go through this first as the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. Although He despised the shame and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now meditate deeply on Him who endured such great hostility of sinners against Himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. So what are we talking about here? We are talking about spiritual and mental strength, which can only come from a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. It can't come any other way. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in things. You're not going to find it in other people unless they are fellow Christians who are praying for you and you are praying for them and you are loving them and they are loving you. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin. Now let's look at another thing that is right along that line. Let's come to James, the first chapter. Let's see how James, and of course James was the half-brother of Jesus. So James, the first chapter. Let's see what he says about the circumstances in life. And remember what we covered last time. Jesus said, be courageous. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but I have overcome the world, and so can you overcome the world through Christ. All right, let's pick it up here, right in verse 1, chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are in the dispersion, greeting. Little sidebar here. Would you write a letter to someone that you didn't know where they were? And if he's writing to the 12 tribes, does that not mean that there were many copies sent out to wherever the 12 tribes were? Of course. What does this tell us? The 12 tribes were not lost. They were just scattered. Now here's how he starts out. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are beset by various trials. Now, trials are difficult. Trials come through other people. Trials come through circumstances. Trials come because of our own stupidity. And I've had plenty of those. Now, there's a man who recently was cutting down some limbs from a tree, and when he put up the ladder, he knew that it really wasn't where it should have been, but he figured, well, I can do it anyway. So he got up there, and he had his little chainsaw, and he was cutting down the limbs, and uh-oh, the ladder slipped out. So here he's falling to the ground after cutting some great big limb, and he had experience in skiing, so he knew how to fall and land without hurting himself. So as he was coming down, he planned his landing. I mean, you can do this in just a flash of a second, but when something happens like that, it seems like everything's in slow motion. I know it was when I rolled my Isuzu. It just went, oh! So he threw away the chainsaw so it wouldn't get to him. He fell to the ground, and then bang, all of a sudden that big limb came down and hit his leg and hit his arm and broke his arm and broke his leg. Now, he didn't have much joy when that happened. However, after thinking the whole thing through and thanking God that he was still alive, there was joy that God, number one, spared his life, number two, could heal his leg, and number three, he's going to be fine. See? So there you go. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you are beset by various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Well, we're tested all the time, correct? Yes. But let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, not lacking in anything. All right? Let's see how we can apply this now. Let's come back to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Now, it's not in the same place that it was in the King James. It's back closer to the front of the Bible. All right. Isaiah 26. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Let's see how we can apply this now. In that day this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He, that is God, sets up salvation as our walls and banks. Open the gate so that the righteous nation shall enter in, one that is faithfully keeping truth. These are the resurrected ones, are they not? Yes, indeed. Verse 3, here's a promise. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Now, that means peace of mind, and peace of mind is the first step to joy. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the everlasting, for God, the Lord is the everlasting rock. He brings down those who dwell on high, so don't worry about them. He lays low the lofty city, so God will bring his judgment. He lays it low, even to the dust. He brings it even to the ground, rather, even to the dust, and so forth. So God is going to have the judgment. But the thing is important here. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. It's exactly what it says in Hebrews 12, having your minds fixed on Jesus. Now let's look at another one here as we go along. We have quite a few other scriptures to cover. Let's come back here to the book of Psalms now. And actually, in the original order Bible, you go forward from Isaiah, not backward. Okay, let's come to Psalm 16. Let's again see how these things apply. Let's see how we can use these things in our lives, because after all, what are we dealing with between joy and sorrow, circumstances and mental attitude, correct? Yes, indeed. Now, let's see how it's applied here in Psalm 16. Now, some of these verses are a direct prophecy of Jesus Christ. So let's apply it to ourselves. Verse 1, Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you do I put my trust. Perfect peace have those who trust in the Lord. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. You ever told God that? You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my God. Notice the next sentence here. I have no goodness apart from you. Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Isn't that true? Yes. Again, it gets back, we have nothing we didn't receive. Verse 3, as for the saints in the earth, here's how God looks at us. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have problems we need to overcome. That doesn't mean we don't have things we need to repent of. But here is how God looks at us. As for the saints in the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Now think on that. Does God delight in you? Yes, that's why he called you. Can we do the things that please him? Yes. If we love him and keep his commandments, correct? Yes, we can. His delight is in his people because he personally has called us. So use that as a point of joy and peace. Remember, Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, I give to you. Because, see, having our minds fixed on Christ, we are in perfect peace, and when we have peace of mind, we can have joy in spite of the circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean we become haughty and laugh at difficulties and problems. It just means we have an inner peace, an inner joy, an inner courage, an inner determination and endurance to do what is right, because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Verse 4, their sorrows shall be multiplied who run after another god. I will not pour out their drink offering of blood. I will not take their name upon my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. He shall uphold my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a beautiful inheritance. Now think about it a minute. What is it going to be like to have a spirit body? To live forever? To have glory? What is it going to be like ultimately when New Jerusalem comes to the earth? And we live in New Jerusalem and we see God the Father and Jesus Christ and all the saints on a daily basis. Perfect peace have those whose mind is stayed on the Lord. That's how we do it. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the nights. And many times, I don't know about you, but many times I learn things when I wake up at night and lie there praying, thinking about the Word of God, thinking about things. And I have to in the same way that you do. When there are difficulties and problems that come along, when there are aggravations and troubles that spring up, I also have to say, God, give me the understanding how I can handle this. Help me to understand it and keep it in perspective. Don't let it drag me down. Don't let it become a weight. Don't let me dwell on it so that I am thinking things that I ought not think. That's what we have to do. Here's how he does it, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Nope, he is the rock. We are anchored into him. We have the promises of God as the anchor of the soul, as Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews. Therefore, my heart is glad, meaning you have joy. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now, there are going to be many, many saints, because we've got a lot of seniors, and I'm one of them. Never thought I would be, but I'm one of them. And we just have an article about one lady who's a sister in the church back in Maine, and she just turned 99, Ethel McMillan. And that's exactly how she has kept herself all these years, by doing exactly what I've said here. And I know, because I know her, and I have been with her every year when I go back to Manchester, New Hampshire. And as a matter of fact, most of the time when I'm there, she's sitting on the front row, and I can tell you this, she's got a Bible with little teeny print, and she can read it. She wears glasses, and when different ones would get up and speak, and I would sit down, and we've have hymns and things like that, I'd sit down next to her, and we'd come time to sing hymns, we'd sing loud and clear. Now, I don't know if she's going to live another 5, 10, or 15 years, but who knows? But look at the attitude and things that she had to have, not only the inheritance and everything, but continually looking to God can overcome all of the difficulties of this physical life. So let's read that again. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my joy, my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to the grave. Neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. Well, think of that. Way to walk. The path that leads to eternal life. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what David was talking about here. In your presence is fullness of joy. See, that's why we have to always keep looking ahead. Always keep looking to the goal that is set before us. Now, does that mean we neglect the things that are around us physically that are happening? No. But what does it do? It gives us a better perspective in handling those things. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So just think what it's going to be like to be in the kingdom of God. That's going to be some deal. I mean, look at what God has done with us. Now, we've gone through Psalm 139, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and the Spirit of God has made us, and so forth. We know that each one of us have a genetic code. God is going to use that to resurrect us. Jesus said, every hair is numbered. Now, we used to think that had to do with the number of hairs, and those who do not have much on the top may have felt slighted. However, I've come to a different conclusion. every hair has your genetic code. As does every cell, every drop of fluid in your body, and even your bones. You are distinctively created, made in the image of God by the Spirit of God through the process of procreation. And everything about you, God has made. All right, now let's come to Psalm 27. Here's another thing we need to do. I know this, that if you don't pray on your knees every day, and if you don't study every day, then things will come upon you in a way, and you will not be spiritually armed to be able to handle them, so they will cause you more problems. So notice how this is again. I want you to see how in every case that we're talking about joy, in every case that we're talking about difficulties that we go through, what is the mindset? Because that's the important thing. Verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, right? What did he say of us? We're the light of the world. Is that not true? And sometimes I think about that, the condition of the churches of God, and I think, oh, God, help us. Sometimes we are the bane of the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We're not to be afraid. We're not to go around cocky and like a smart aleck boxer, you know. I'm the greatest. See, no. We're not to fear anything or anyone. And another thing, too, while teaching the proper fear of God, no church should be run by fear and intimidation. God does not want that. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Nothing. No circumstance in the world. Now hold your place here and let's come to Psalm 91. Now as I mentioned before, we have to go to Psalm 91 a lot to be able to have peace of mind in the last days and be able to have joy. Because we're going to be confronted with circumstances sooner or later that are going to be greater than we have ever imagined. Let me ask you a question. How would you like to live in Mexico right now? In the middle of the drug wars, with the army fighting the gangs of those people who are ruthless and evil. No one wants to be a policeman in Mexico anymore because the gangs will come and shoot you and your family. And they have murdered. This is not counting casualties in war. They have murdered in Mexico because of these drug wars, 6,000 people. Now those things are fearful and coming upon them. Now what if the United States gets to a degenerate condition like that? What's going to happen? What if it's, where are you? Are you in your country? We are brethren in Mexico. All right? I've talked to them. They rely on Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now we'll talk about that a little later on. We are dwelling by having the Holy Spirit of God. We are in the secret place of the Most High. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now you can see a shadow on the ground. Say you're standing right next to a tree or a building, and maybe you're even standing in the shadow of the building, and you can look out and see where the shadow ends. But as you look straight ahead, you can't see the shadow. Same way with God's protection. It's there, but you can't see it. The angels are there, and unless there's a purpose of them to manifest themselves to you, you don't know they're there. But sometimes you go through something and you know an angel had to be there to keep you from greater trouble than happened, right? Yes, indeed. All right, let's go to the next track, please.